Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, you should.
O'clock hour of Cody and Gold here on 610 Sports Radio, presented by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclend.com. Hanging out on this President's Day. Hope everybody had a fantastic weekend, and you heard it there. We are now the official chief broadcast partner. We're fired up for this. The Super Bowl champs are a broadcast partner now. Doesn't get much better than that. We're excited and what it means for you and the listener as well.
I think they should make us compete for the Mahomes interview.
Is that how the combine works?
Yeah.
Is that what we're competing for in this combine?
My God, I'm going to start working out today.
The 6'10 combine, next Friday, I think it's taking place, or next Thursday. We got to go do some 40-yard dashes. You and I had a little training camp, I guess, about a month ago or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, we
in Miami.
Got a taste
we did
of that.
A little kicking, a little.
Honestly,
40.
We were pretty close in the 40 until I came up lame.
This is true. Now I know I got to go max. I got to go max effort. Beginning, I was.
Of course you do.
You surprised me a little bit.
Of course
on
you
the
do.
40.
Man. It's a 40. You
the
gotta
bench,
run.
The
fast.
Bench press is gonna be
not good for either of us,
especially me. I guess Bink was talking about this morning. He was filling in on Fesco. Apparently, I don't know. He was talking about how he doesn't think I'm going to be able to do many bench presses. He's not wrong, by the way.
Gold doesn't even know if he can get it up.
That was a mistake on his part. That was a mistake.
I don't think
on
that's
Bink's
exactly
part.
What he was trying to say there.
Yeah, Bink messed that one up, I think.
It's coming up on the, we will personally do it on the 27th, which is 10 days away, including the 40, the broad jump, the bench press, the vertical.
Ooh.
I do not have a good vertical. All that will take place, and then, of course, they'll get to come on our show.
And I guess we're
to
doing
talk
the,
about the results.
We're doing the Wonderlic, too, which is going to just be embarrassing for everybody involved.
I feel like the person with the most advantage to do the Wonderlic should be the person who most recently was in school.
Yeah, don't put that because pressure on. Don't put that pressure on me.
Sir.
Don't put that pressure on me one bit.
I'm just saying.
There's fractions involved. It's not a good thing. Math was not a strong suit.
But you were the most recent person in school,
matter.
Therefore had to take a test. Although we all went to school for journalism, so none of us had to take tests.
Let's be real. Although somehow I got stuck taking calculus in college.
I thought you said you were no good at math.
I wasn't. I had to take it. I didn't.
You took calculus in college? Yeah, you weren't good at
I had
math.
Some help along the way.
That's
otherwise,
what people,
we had some help
it in
along
high school
the way.
If you're good at math, right?
I was terrible at math.
Were you good at math, Grant?
I started out good, and then I stopped caring, so it dropped off.
Yeah.
I quit calculus halfway through in high school.
In high school.
Needed some significant help. It's good to have sisters. Let's just put it that way.
What'd you get in it?
Oh.
See?
Yeah. Oh, just if I'm good. Lucky, just to get by. Whatever I needed to get by in math.
Just whatever it took to just.
Both in high school and
get
in
the credit.
And in college. And okay. In college. So thinking of college, hoops over the week. I told you I was in Lawrence. It's going to be back there.
Yes.
I did not go to the KU game, though. That was 11 a.m. Saturday. I was like, I'm not going back to Lawrence for that. Kansas did win over Oklahoma 87-70. They ended up leading the Sooners by 9 at the break, and in large part down the stretch from Marcus Garrett. This is 2 games in a row we've talked about Marcus Garrett specifically. What he did against West Virginia, that great defensive effort. KU against the Mountaineers held him to 48 points. So defensively, he was being talked up. Well, now he's hitting shots, too. Like that's the scary thing. I don't know consistently if that's going to continue. But if he is playing at that level defensively, as he has all year, he is, I think. It would be very interesting to see what the year-end defensive player of the year, not just in the Big 12, but across the country is. He is absolutely right in that conversation and maybe one of the front runners outside of the conference.
For defensive player of the year.
For defensive player of the year. I mean, it's been ridiculous. But then now he's making shots too, Cody. Like that stretch before the half, Oklahoma was right in that game before halftime. And then Marcus Garrett goes off and not missing shots. He had more points at half. I think it was 11. His season average, he averaged around 9 points. He's making shots now. He does that. Like not only this year for Kansas, what that can mean for the Jayhawks come tournament time, like for him in his pro career, all of a sudden you put yourself in a different category. If you're coupling that defense with scoring and making some shots, I don't know if that'll be the case going forward for him. But
he's the best player in basketball.
He's been incredible right now.
He is, and he's hot offensively, but I don't know that I expect it to continue. Like,
Do I expect it?
He had
no.
24 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds. He played more minutes than everyone except for Devon Dotson. Like, he was great. And that's one thing I think we haven't talked probably enough about with Kansas right now is that they have really switched to being a no bench team. Like, they're just running 5 guys out there, and that's it. 7 tops. They're not going 9 deep at all. In previous Kansas teams, and again, you went there, you remember teams probably even better than I do. I always felt like they were 9 deep until the tournament, and then they really did kind of narrow their field down to 7 really when the tournament started to get themselves down to the rotation that they wanted out of there. But Brown, right, for a while there, Christian Brown was like the guy that they were going to for scoring in games in which they seems like they couldn't score. He played all of 10 minutes for 3 points in the last one. You had 24 points in 37 minutes from Garrett. You had 19 points from Dotson. You had 15 from Azubuike and 17 rebounds. So, goodness. But I think when I watched them this time, because I watched this game as well, just like I did the last time, I told you I wasn't nearly... Somehow I walked away feeling better for them against Oklahoma than I did against West Virginia.
Well, because of the offense, right? The offense performance.
Yeah, because that was the part of the team that I was never really particularly sure about. The only problem is that, you know, a question I ask myself a lot, and I think a lot of times teams need to have the answer of before they go to the tournament is, who do you count on? Like, offensively, who is the player you count on? Like, you know defensively when you need to stop. You got to put... Like, some player's just going off on you, and you got to shut him down. We're all pretty sure Marcus Garrett's just going to guard that guy. Barring it being in the,
you know he's your guy defensively. I still think, let's not forget, Devon Dotson offensively is their... Devon Dotson overall is their guy.
No, I know, but I just...
Now they've got somebody else, maybe.
But Dotson, so, yeah... Dotson is their guy offensively.
Still the most important player on that roster.
But he still doesn't hit shots the way I feel like some great Kansas players have over the last decade, which means I think you actually do need a supplementary score for that. And if it's going to be Garrett, great. I always thought it was going to be Azubuike. Like, just no matter whenever we need it, man, we're just going to go high-low. We're just going to go high-low. We're going to drop it down into the post, and Azubuike is going to throw down some thunderous dunk.
And he did against Oklahoma late. My goodness.
And we're just going to take 2 whenever we can get it. But if Garrett is an actual offensive weapon, because Moss has been that guy for them at times too, be like, oh, sometimes it's Moss. Oh, sometimes it's Garrett. Oh, sometimes it's Azubuike. And while that sounds like a good thing, and sometimes it's Brown, right? And while that sounds like a good thing, I actually think it's a bad thing. I think it's good. I think it's better to just know it's not bad to get scoring from any part of the court. That's okay. Let me rephrase. But it is good to know who your secondary scorer is going to be. I think Garrett is the best possible because then you are so guard heavy that makes you nearly unguardable. If Garrett is going to shoot like this, Kansas jumps off right off the page.
Oh, it changes the way teams are going to have to defend Kansas. As long as he's making shots like this, and I agree, I don't think this is going to be something consistently, but we'll see how long they can ride this. Iowa State tonight, Kansas hosting them, huge favorites. Iowa State obviously in a major rebuild right now. The Cyclones are 16-point dogs against the Hawks tonight before Saturday's game in Waco against the Baylor Bears, against the number one team in the country. That's what will come down to. Everybody looking forward to that. Again, John Gassaway, college hoops writer for ESPN.com, going to join us in just a couple of minutes. We'll talk more big picture stuff with him, but also Mizzou with a big win over the weekend.
Back-to-back times against top 25
they opponents. They should have beat LSU mid last week. They were up at half, should have won that game, but it seemed like typical kind of Mizzou blowing a lead late. That did not happen this go around. Missouri pulled out an 85-73 win against the number 11 team of the country. We mentioned when we had Jared Sutton on the show during our college basketball whip around, what does success look like the rest of the way for Mizzou? What do they need to do? And when you're talking about building for the future, for example, they got to be thrilled with this last week, probably upset that they didn't have 2 top 25 wins in the last week, but they're playing better basketball. Can they keep it up this week is the question, but that was a big
time. I was
time
trying to figure out why. So I was texting people who like cover Missouri or cover basketball really well and chatting with them after watching the game. And I'm like, okay, so why? Why is Missouri playing better? Because for much of this season, I was not blown away with Missouri's performance. You might be surprised to hear. And then now back-to-back times, you're right, against top 25 opponents, I thought they should have won the game. And at least once they did. And honestly, if you're Missouri, anytime you're in a basketball season, if you, like Kansas probably has better expectations than that. But Missouri in any given season, if I told you, every time they played a top 25 opponent, they're in the game, and about 50% of the time they win the game, you'd be like, huge win. This is back-to-back games where they're playing their best. And in talking to people and then going back and watching the game, Pinson is a huge reason why. Like, that alone stands out as being a legitimate reason. Obviously, he dropped 28 points, and so did Drew Smith. But I think so much of it is a willingness to actually play free-flowing offensive basketball. And that is not Konzo Martin's strength. He has been rigid at times in what he does offensively, sometimes uncreative at times in what they've done offensively. And what I saw the last two games with him was more of what you would consider like an NBA-style offense where you're allowing guards to just make decisions. Make good decisions, right? They don't always make, but you're allowing them to make the decision for you rather than you tell them what to do. And so when I watch Missouri, I think they can continue it if they still get high-level decision-making from the guard play. Because it took them a long time. You know, they wanted to be this different style of offense with Tillman. And they were never that gold. They were just never that. They wanted to be this different style of offense. And then when he kept getting hurt, and then it's like, okay, what are we now? Right? And how do we solve this? And I think it just took them a while to figure out how they played offensively. And now they're starting to come around on that. If they let him play this way, I think there's a chance Missouri could be pretty good down the stretch.
They're certainly trending in a much better direction than they were just a half ago. In fact, it was the first win over an AP top 25 team in 2 years. I mean, it just tells you where the program there at Mizzou has been. But Penson was talking about Drew Smith and said they feel this, they have a better feel of each other, what they both like to do and what they don't like to do, and that is why they are playing a little bit better basketball as well. Let's also not forget, they just made shots. It helps when that ball is going through the hoop. Obviously, like Missouri going up against Auburn, who runs the full court pressure, got you. If you yes. beat the pressure, you're going to get open looks, but you've got to be able to knock down the shot. And so when you've got that going for you, unlike earlier in the season, maybe in other games, even here in SEC play, where the shots just weren't falling. Missouri shot 55% from the field, almost 54% from the three. It's not any secret, probably, and you're not surprised when I tell you that those are near their highest single-game marks of the entire season. So they give them credit. It was a big-time win for them. Shots were falling. That's a good feeling when you start seeing that ball go through the hoop. So nice win for Mizzou. And I want to see, this is a big week for them.
I think that's
designed. How do you follow that up? Well, it's designed, sure, Cody, but I just mean the full. It's one thing when a team's full court pressing you, you're going to get open looks, and if you're not making the shots, it's not going to matter. And they were not only beating the press and breaking through the pressure of Auburn over the weekend, but Mizzou was able to knock down some shots.
And you got Ole Miss and Arkansas and Vanderbilt. You don't have another top 25 opponent on the schedule the rest of the way, so some of that will just depend on how they're able to finish this season. But the way they looked against those two teams makes them look like they can finish strong.
20 minutes away from our Chiefs Red Half Hour. Nothing but Chiefs coming your way. We'll get into what we actually think the Chiefs may lose over the next couple of seasons and whether or not Mahomes, his deal, how big of an impact that's going to have. But let's continue talking some college hoops here on Cody and Goldie. Go out to the 610 hotline. Welcome in John Gassaway, college hoops writer for ESPN.com. John, it's great to have you on the program this morning. And we were talking KU and MU a little bit. Just when you watch Kansas this year, specifically the last week or so, and what you've seen from Marcus Garrett, and wondering just nationally, where does he rank as far as defenders in the country, and how big of a factor is he going to be for Kansas come tournament time?
Not only defenders, but for the last 40 minutes I was watching him, he was Magic Johnson and Pete Maravich combined on offense. So, if he keeps doing that, we're just going to have to hand him National Player of the Year, because if you're the best defender in the country, arguably, and you're draining threes like nobody's business. I don't know what else you can do. That's a big part of the sport. He brings a lot to the table, even when he's not sinking threes all over the place. And you saw just how disruptive he can be on defense, and how he forces opponents just to in effect give up and just keep the ball on a portion of the floor where Garrett is not. So, I mean, that is the ultimate scouting report compliment to be paid, is that you have to take what you think you're going to do and change it completely just based on Garrett's presence. He's a pleasure to watch.
And obviously, you know, college basketball has had kind of offensive woes, but he would stand out defensively even in a season where maybe we don't think the college offensive scheme has been very good.
Absolutely. And, you know, the offensive woes are real and measurable and across all of Division I, but I think that we can overstate them at times. And specifically within an individual game, you know, all bets are off. You can still see team score very well, and the Big 12 is not lacking for offenses that are able to do that. So he will always be, that level of defense will always be valuable, regardless of what the national numbers are saying. And he just he brings that every game.
The strength of college basketball across the board this year, I mean, at the top five right now, when you look, Baylor's been at number one for a while, but earlier in the season, yeah, the non-conference portion of the schedule where these number one teams were just falling left and right more than we really had ever seen. Right now, I mean, if I were to say who truly, can you definitively say the four best teams in college basketball? Do you think it's that clear who they are?
Yeah, I mean, four is any number that you pick will be tricky. It just, you know, off the top of my head, the two best teams in the Big 12, Kansas and Baylor, are clearly part of any discussion like this. I would throw Duke in very much so. I, of course, include Gonzaga. And then, you know, San Diego State has not lost. And it can be a case where they get to the tournament and we say, oh, okay, that they weren't that good after all. That's what tends to be assumed in these cases. But it can also be an instance where they get to the tournament and they play a really good 8 seed, much less a really good 4 seed, and they just trounce them, and you understand at last, okay, this team is for real. So, I mean, there has to be room made in the conversation for a team that is undefeated. So there's five names, I believe, that I've tossed out just there. It is really difficult to draw the line, but those are the names that come to mind here in mid-February.
We're speaking with John Gassway, college basketball writer for ESPN.com. We were talking, John, earlier about the end of the NBA All-Star game last night and seeing the Elam ending in effect once again. I would put it in college basketball tomorrow. I like it enough, and I hate the end of college basketball games enough to feel like I'm ready to see something different. How interested are you in the Elam ending, and how well would it actually work in the game?
Yeah, I am a ardent supporter of instituting the Elam ending in the NIT. That's why the NIT exists. We test our new 3-point lines there. Any rule change that we're mulling, we test in the NIT, and it's perfect because those are actual college teams trying to win, but it's still the NIT. It's not the NCAA tournament. So it's a great proving ground, and I would love to see an entire tournament played with the Elam ending. It could be something where we look at it and say, wow, we should have been doing this for years, or we could say, okay, that didn't work. let's not do this. But it's the NIT, so the pressure is off, and that I would love to see it tried. The other day, as part of my job, I run Bubble Watch, so I was watching every last tick of the clock in an overtime game between Cincinnati and Memphis, and it was exhausting. And there were fouls, and there were reviews. And keep in mind, this is an overtime game with, you know, heavy consequences for NCAA tournament, you know, profile. And it was just an ordeal. And afterward, I tweeted, you know, this overtime took about 35 minutes to play, and Ken Pomeroy, very Ken Pomeroy-like, replied, sure, and said, actually, it was 27 minutes. so there you go. I mean, he had a clock to the second. 27 minutes is a long time for an overtime. I am open to new avenues, and I'm open to trying the Elam ending.
John, you mentioned you obviously do Bubble Watch there over on ESPN. Now, two teams that aren't on the bubble, one for one reason over the other, Missouri and Auburn. Over the weekend, number 11 Auburn went down to the Tigers, and it was a Missouri team that probably should have beat LSU earlier on in the week. What have you seen on how much you've watched the Tigers this year, that being Missouri, down this last week or so, playing some better basketball?
Yeah, that's the problem with saying the Tigers and the SEC. That could be one of three teams. There should really be a rule about that. But but on Missouri, they have turned a late corner, and it's really unfortunate. You know, you see this from teams every year, where it would be an interesting thought experiment. You know, what would the 36 best at large teams right now at this moment be? I emphasize the term thought experiment because I don't think that would be fair. I am a body of work guy. I think that you've got to bring it from the first game. But the Tigers of Missouri are clearly playing better. You know, they've had issues this year with offense that have revolved mostly around turnovers, although the shooting has not always been great either. And to the extent that Missouri can address those, then the result on the floor is going to look better. The other thing that they've had a terrible time with, at least in SEC play, is fouling. No team puts opponents on the line as much as Mizzou has. So, again, to the extent that they can stop doing that and make opponents earn their points from the field, then Missouri will look better. And there's still time to show that they can do all of the above. It would be quite a Hail Mary to get into the bubble conversation, but at least they can play better and notch some wins.
Is Konzo Martin pretty safe there for a few years in your eyes?
Yeah, he's pretty safe. The biggest enemy to Konzo's continuing resonance in any job is Konzo. He was on the 3 or 4 year plan up and out for an astonishing. He was really consistent for a while.
Yeah, it was.
Assuming that he does not abide by that internal body clock anymore, he's safe for the foreseeable future. Foreseeable, define that, but he's safe for now is what I would say.
If, by the way, just on the coaching end, if the Woj report is right for you guys over there at ESPN and Beeline's out in Cleveland, you got a team in mind? You think they would go after him? Obviously, Beeline would get a gig somewhere.
Yeah, isn't that amazing that he might be available already? People bring up his age. He's a kid compared to Jim Boeheim himself. I mean, he's still got some years left in him, and there are teams that would obviously love to have Beeline. If you look at where Michigan was when he took that job and where they were when he left, it was quite a feat. So obviously, his name has been connected with Texas. The situation in Austin has been discussed pretty thoroughly all through calendar 2020. But another name I would throw in the mix, because he's a good Wheeling Jesuit graduate back in the day, would be BC. That could return him to his Jesuit roots. And who knows if either of these programs would even be in the market for a new coach. But if they were, Beeline's name would definitely come up.
John Gassaway, college hoops writer for ESPN.com. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
There you go. That's John Gassaway here on Cody and Gold. And yeah, you have to imagine with Shaka and all that, the way things are headed in that direction.
Texas could use a guy like Beeline. I think your exact comment
Rick Barnes. Feels like Rick Barnes.
They should
it?
Pray for the days of Rick Barnes. It's not going well with Shaka Smart. And Shaka Smart will get some other job back. Maybe VCU. I don't know how their program's been. But I see that a lot in those like programs like that. Like, had Greg Marshall actually left for the bigger job and it not gone well, Wichita State would have welcomed him back with open arms. Awaiting his arrival is the hero who made Wichita State their best ever.
10 minutes away from our Chiefs Red Half Hour. Nothing but Chiefs talk coming your way here on Cody and Gold. We'll get into the Chiefs going forward, the roster. They also a chance at a pair of tickets for FAC Fight Night coming up this Saturday. Printed by Instant Auto at Silverstein Eye Centers, and tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. So we'll have a chance at a pair of tickets to that event. You texted me yesterday, and I think Serta was in the text as well. We all responded almost identically to this. There's a study out there that I guess when it comes to student loan debt, people wouldn't do just about anything. So a study shows 39% of millennials would prefer to spend a week in jail if their entire student debt was wiped clean. I think my response was like, sign me up, please. After the show, Cody. After the show, I'll head there right now. Let's get the week out of the way. Wipe the student debt clean. Works
I don't
for
even
me.
Think I have it as bad as some other people in the student debt department. In a second, I'd go to jail.
And you have kids. You have
a
wife.
Jail, not even prison. It's a jail. Yeah, there is a distinct difference between those two. Even though if it were prison, I think my answer, she'd be fine. This is good for both of us. My going to jail for 1 week if it's wiping out student loan debt. Honestly, she should do the week right after me. I don't know why we're not just like, why this isn't together. She's got a master's degree. We should be doing this back to back. I don't know. Like, this is not a one-way street.
39%,
I'll do two
Cody.
Weeks if it wipes out both of ours. How is it only 39%?
Just text 39%.
Line. Smitty's Garage Brewing Beer text line, 69306. Would you spend a week in jail if it wiped out your student loan debt? Now, if you're a little bit older, I'm going to guess that it's probably not worth it to you. So I guess we're looking for anybody. Well, they might have had paid off a decent chunk by now. And school was cheaper. This is why this was a study of millennials. I couldn't believe it was only 39%. As quickly as I answered yes, you answered yes. Grant?
Absolutely. I wouldn't even have to think twice about it.
Like if
it's
said,
only a week.
If you had to leave
What's
this
the
job
cap?
Right now,
I want to know
now,
what the cap is. I want to know what the cap is on it. I mean, the text line, it points it out. It says I'd spend a month or more to get rid of it. A week doesn't seem terrible. As you said, very important that it's jail, not prison. I think I'm capping mine at like 2 or 3 weeks max, though. There's no way I'm doing it. You said you maybe do a month or something.
I do a month.
No way. Nope.
Here's the thing. I
a
can't,
month,
I can't
you're
afford,
losing your job.
I don't want to lose my job. Grant could lose his job. He'd be fine.
Like, I'd lose both my jobs.
Well, I love your Grant doesn't
he
need
said
a job.
It. Grant's fine. He'll just get a better job or a worse job, and it won't matter because he won't need nearly as much money to pay off his student
It'd
loans.
It'd be a pay raise not having a job.
1 week, you got meals provided 1 week as well.
Three meals. Three hots. Three hots in a bed, man. That's
the text
get.
Line fully in agreement on this one. This is what we haven't had this universal agreement on the text line since we've started the show, Cody.
I just can't. Yes, this is universal. I can't believe it was only 30 weeks. Now here's the thing. There were other people in this article. Only 51% said that they would shave their head. Only 51%.
Shave your head to erase a student loan debt?
Correct.
Well, that's... Are you kidding me?
Only 49% said they'd walk to work for a month. I'd walk for a year to work. And it would take
me... that'd be a long walk in the morning for me.
Don't care. But... Worth... Come on, man.
How long would it take?
What do you got to do? Get up early?
It might take
me... I mean,
I'd
lose some time with my kids. It would stink.
Take me 2 hours or an hour and a half to walk to work.
I would walk to work with my kids, have my wife meet me here so she could drive them back. I'd still get the time with the kids. It's great.
Someone says, well, they have Wi-Fi. I don't think you get access to
I don't think
that.
You get Wi-Fi no. there.
Someone says, have fun telling other inmates what you're in for, though.
I'm in here. Oh, I'm clearly going to make up something. I robbed a bank or something. I'm definitely making up something much bigger than I'm just getting out of my student loan debt.
I mean, it's not prison. You're not hanging out in the yard with all of them. It is
I mean,
a
I
jail.
Could even
it's
load
different.
Up, well, and I could maybe buy some favors in commissary. I got all this extra cash. Student debt's going away. I could buy some commissary favors here. Oh, you think you can't buy favors in jail with money? Of course you can.
1 week, how quickly would that go by? Where would it be? Knowing what's going to happen once you leave?
I mean, it's just a week. I think you could do anything in your life for a week, and it wouldn't seem like...
A month's pushing
especially
it.
Especially knowing that I wasn't...
Month,
I think
it would
be different if I were in jail for something I had done and felt bad about, because that would be a very long week. I think if I just went to jail to wipe out student loan debt, I'd be like... I'm going to get some reading done, maybe a couple of push-ups. I'll be out of here in a week. Life's good. I just read.
New show topics.
I just read.
New show topics.
Hopefully not some really
ideas.
Dark ones. I mean, look, it's not that it's not concerning at all, but 39%? I'd be gone in a second. I still don't see a single text on here that said they wouldn't do it.
My hourly rate would skyrocket just for that 1 week.
I mean, people are tweeting
it. It would be a raise for me. Grant said, if I had zero job and no student loan debt, it's actually like a raise. I'd be better off than I am now.
Yeah, everybody says they'll do it. We have people texting in their student loan debt amounts.
Most people are saying they'd do it for a month, a year.
Someone said they'd do prison over jail.
Three hots and a cot in a heartbeat.
That. Prison over jail, though, that seems way worse.
It's a little more organized. I mean, I'll give them that, right? I mean, cell doors.
What kind of experience do you have? You're like, you're more organized.
Saying, like,
what, have you been watching Orange is the New Black? What have you been doing?
This might come as a surprise to you, Gold. I have been arrested in my life.
For what?
I have been in a jail cell, in a county jail cell.
For what?
We can get into that in a minute. We don't have enough time to get into that whole
story. I need to
know this. In a county, but like, that's like, there's a lot of comings and goings. It's a different quality, you know, the people in prison are there. I feel like I'd stick to prison.
Someone said, yeah, just, it's like vacation. 1 week. So it's just like going on vacation. Hey, wipe out all those student loans. We're all about that. Coming up next on Cody and Gold, our Chiefs Red Half Hour. What happens over the next two seasons? That's the other thing. You go to jail, you're missing Super Bowls possibly if you're in jail for a little bit longer than just a week or so. That's next. We're back at it here on Cody and Gold. Getting excited to be partnered up with the Chiefs officially today. We're the new Chiefs radio partner of the Kansas City Chiefs here on 610 Sports Radio. Woo! Talk a bit more about that in about 15 minutes or so as well going forward. Also, we're 10 minutes away from your chance at a pair of tickets to this Saturday's FAC Fight Night out at Silverstein Ice Center's Arena. Tickets on sale now for that at Ticketmaster.com. You're going to want to be, well, we'll just tell you right now, actually. I say about 10 minutes or so. If you hear this, you want to be the fifth caller, 913-576-7610.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
Because we are... Oh, mic on helps. Because we are the official broadcast partner, now we can just play whatever Mitchell Discuss we want.
Just over and over. Just play it over
so
and over.
So why not take advantage? God, I'm just going to install a button.
Just have a button, just play Mitch Holt this over and over.
Just this. Like, I just press a button and then...
There's got to be
touchdown, Kansas City!
That one does not count for the tickets.
There's got to be a Mitch Holt at soundboard somewhere, right? On the internet?
I would think so.
We'll make one. We'll make one.
Yeah, we'll just make the Cody and Gold Mitch Holt soundboard. I'm just going to create a button and then just force Serta to play random Mitch Holt play-by-play cuts whenever we feel like it. Really for no reason, just because we feel like it. It doesn't have any real purpose. It doesn't lead into the topic or conversation we're having. We're just going to play them because now we can. As official broadcast partners, we now have that right.
So the next time you hear Mitch Holt this saying not touchdown the time I Kansas just City, it. The next time you hear it, you want to be the fifth caller to 913-576-7610. You'll have a chance at a pair of tickets to FAC Fight Night. I have said from the minute the Super Bowl ended on the show that when you look ahead to Mahomes and how many rings could he get, how many rings could Andy Reid get here in Kansas City, I feel like this early window of the next couple of years certainly is the most realistic. If you think they're going to win, if he's going to win four more Super Bowls, for example, to me, he needs to win one or two more in the next 3 years in order to get to that mark that people think they're going to get to. And that's because it's going to get more challenging, I think, roster wise. And I believe here in 2019, now 2020, that the roster Mahomes had around him is the best he will ever have. That doesn't mean that they can't win Super Bowls with it, but I believe you look at the construction of this roster. We don't know about the future now, looking ahead at Chris Jones and what that's going to be like. Sammy Watkins, for example. This roster that you had here to win a Super Bowl, Super Bowl 54, was the best that Mahomes is going to have around him. That doesn't mean that this thing's going to fall apart by any means. They are still in unbelievable shape. But I do believe that when you look at it, and the turnover that will just naturally happen over time, there, even if the cap is going up continually, that, yeah, this is the best that Mahomes will have it around him.
Probably, but I wouldn't say for sure. Because, you know, you might have said that early on in the Brady career, when they were winning Super Bowls, they had an incredibly talented roster. And then eventually had a roster with Randy Moss. And I know he wasn't making the top dollar then, but he was making close enough to it. And they still put together an incredibly talented roster. I think a lot of that will just be on, they'll have to have some mega draft or back-to-back drafts where they hit big and aren't having to pay out big time for players and have a chance to sign up two huge free agents or a number one wide receiver who is on the market. So I wouldn't say no, but the question, you know, like for them, once this deal gets signed, is how much does it really change? I've told you before, I think sometimes cap stuff can be overblown. And I only think you're really in trouble if you have to pay your top quarterback money, and he's not a top quarterback. You have Patrick Mahomes. It's all right. I'm watching the NFL Network's replay of him over the last two seasons as NFL Network is just playing Patrick Mahomes games.
All day today.
All day long.
It's great.
So if you just like, once you get done listening at you know, 2 or 6 or 9, you get the point. Eventually, when you're done listening to 610 Sports Radio, certainly not after before this show's over. But once you're done there and you want to watch Patrick Mahomes do that, you can. But they are going to be running into some cap issues that they haven't for a while, except for they were running into cap issues before with Alex Smith as their quarterback. And I really think that that's more likely what you're going to be looking at than anything else. Decisions needing to be made on a few different players. Now, this has happened before. Richard Sherman got let go in Seattle. That was partially because of a cap decision. The Chiefs have not spent any money on cornerbacks, and they're only projected to have the second least amount of cap space right now. They currently have the second most commitments.
Right. 210,
they're
I think.
They're actually projected to have the ninth least amount of cap space going into next year. I know you're not always going to be able to hold on to Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Frank Clark, Tyrann Mathieu, Patrick Mahomes. I know that some of the draft stuff will have to be come into that, but I do think that there will be discounts taken from certain players, especially as offensive skill position players who will just want to play with Patrick Mahomes. And so while I know there'll be some differences, I think the biggest differences will be in some of those positions that you used to be able to. I don't think Anthony Hitchens contracts are happening more. I think that that's legitimately for me where I think the differences are going to happen.
To your point, though, about guys wanting to come to Kansas City or guys wanting to stay in Kansas City, 100% that exists. We have said, and I have said about hometown discounts, that kind of stuff is ridiculous. That you can't.
No, but I'd take a Mahomes discount to win a ring.
You can't, for sure, if you're the opposing player. Like, Mahomes should not take a discount. But what I think could be realistic, and I think even Carrington was talking about on the drive on Friday, about Frank Clark. Just got this big contract this past offseason. Is he willing, though, for the next couple of years, is he willing to restructure that already after 1 year? That was one thing that Carrington threw out. I thought was interesting. I hadn't thought about it on the surface at the time. You think about Frank Clark, the deal, is there a way would he be willing to essentially move some money around in the next year or two and kind of backload it essentially to where he could help the Chiefs out a little bit as they try to, if that means taking care of and getting Chris Jones to stay.
The Chiefs have to be, for the Chiefs to be willing to do that, by the way, they got to be sure that Frank Clark's going to be here for the majority of the contract.
Sure, that's the risk.
Because typically in restructuring, they don't take less guaranteed money. They just move where the guaranteed money is going. Which means their cap hit becomes less of a problem for the Chiefs this season.
Yeah, you're moving one problem. You're just moving the problem later down the road.
Great. That's how the Chiefs should think for a while. You know, the Cowboys did that for a while. They did that in the, they actually cheated the cap for a time in the 90s, but.
Touchdown!
I think you can do it a couple of different ways. And outrunning the cap, to me, when you have a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, is a pretty good way to do it for the next 4 or 5 years. Or 3 or 4 years. When you're trying to stay in this window, restructuring with Frank Clark makes a lot of sense to me. That's the problem with signing full-blown free agents or signing a guy like Chris Jones. You can't restructure now. He's going to have to take a pretty low cap hit number in the first year, and there were reports out there that when they were negotiating last year, part of the issue was that he wanted to tear up the final year of his rookie deal, which means what? He wants the money now. I don't blame him for wanting the money now. He should. I just don't think that there's going to be some of those things that come into factor, mostly because the only other teams I see right now is in competition for the Chiefs the next few years are also going to have to pay their quarterback. I think the deals that actually get lost in this are the mid-level deals, not the big deals. You can still afford to pay Patrick Mahomes and pay Frank Clark. You can still afford to pay Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill, like, or whoever, a star wide receiver. The thing you can't do is pay a star wide receiver, Patrick Mahomes, and a decent linebacker, which is what they thought they were getting in Anthony Hitchens. So what might happen to this team from Eagle is they might have more glaring weaknesses in units going forward. Like, you might say this linebacker crew can't play, and they're going to have to specifically dedicate.
And that's,
know,
and some would argue, that's where
to fix it.
Some would argue that's where the linebacking group is.
The linebacker
this,
crew
this past
has not
year
been
was
perfect.
Clearly the weakness of this football team.
It is,
year.
But it's still not like, oh my God, there's no chance they'll ever get the play done. That's the kind of weakness I'm talking about. Like, when you're in the cornerback, like, God, they can't guard anybody. If we can't get to them quick, we're in trouble. Where you feel like you have no choice but to demand draft capital to try to solve the problem. That's what I think the difference actually looks like.
And there has to be more emphasis then on the draft, clearly. And this will be the first time, in barring a trade out, you know, a trade out of it, where the Chiefs will have a first-round pick. It's been 2 years. And so, to your point about cap and maybe having to approach some of the, not necessarily the players where they've got star, you know, star players making star type of money, if you will, but the draft, if you're able to trade out of the first round, or you stay in the first round, but to where you stockpile some picks, you trade Chris Jones, if that's
in
fact what they do.
I think they should stockpile.
And that would make the scenario that you bring up a little bit more likely. I think that's what you would have to do if you're going to. No team is immune from cap issues, right? But it doesn't mean you're screwed either. And yes, Patrick Mahomes, you can pay him the way you're going to pay him because he is Patrick Mahomes. He's going to be the best quarterback, best football player in the league for the next decade plus. It's not Jared Goff where you're handing him all this kind of money. You're not running into that. I think Lamar Jackson, there will be more risk still with that just because of the way he plays. You wonder, like, if you sign him to a 5-year deal, which he's going to get at some next offseason, Lamar Jackson will get that. And you wonder, will he be, at that point, he'll be his 6th year in the league at the end of the contract, or 7th year in the league, right? And you'll wonder, what's he at? You don't have that risk with Patrick Mahomes, so you feel way better about that. But if you're looking
at
the linebacker...
No, if he'd sign a 15-year deal, you'd take it, Mahomes. Oh, he wouldn't.
Yeah.
He'd be stupid to.
Yeah, that'd be foolish. Incredibly foolish to do it. That won't even be something that really happens. But, yeah, I just think for your Kansas City going forward, the draft is just going to be even more important than it's ever been because of where you're going to have money tied up. That's where you are going to have to hit. You're going to have to see, you know, what the Patriots have been able to do over the years in terms of stockpiling picks and being able to hit on them. And not that Chris Jones falls in this category, but in the future, when other guys, it's time for them to get paid, ignoring Chris Jones right now, when it's time for that, you have to make, do you feel that you're getting in at the right time or out at the right time? Right, the Patriots, to their
it's
credit
over
the years.
It's better to be out a year early than in 2 years
with the exception of Chandler Jones, I guess, would be the one. They have been, the Patriots organization has always been great.
There's
about
a couple more besides that. That one's just the biggest most glaring. One. Yeah.
They have been very good about moving on at the right time and avoiding paying the huge contract to guys where they felt like they could get more value in someone that, yes, there's a drop off, but nothing huge, right? And especially early on in the career at that time of Brady and now early on in Mahomes' career. So it'll be interesting to see going forward how they approach that. There's no question about that.
Well, I think that, you know, like if you go back through the Patriots contracts, I think people think that they've never paid anyone a sizable salary. And that's just simply not the case. Like, for instance, Stephon Gilmore is an $18 million cap hit this season. Dante Hightower is a $11 million cap hit this season. Now, you might say, boy, that seems kind of low. Obviously, Tom Brady's base salary this season was $30 million, and somehow, and then, you know, like coming up, right? And his cap hit won't be anywhere close to that because they know how to finagle the cap in a way that completely changes every, this past season was 30 million, you know, like they know how to finagle a way where he doesn't necessarily cost nearly as much. Like, oh, we're paying him 25 million and he costs 16 against the cap or 17 against the cap. They've been really good about that, but it's not that they don't pay anyone. And this is the page, they paid Stephon Gilmore $18 million this year. Like, so, you know, how many players they have gone the route of, you can go a couple different ways. They have gone the route, I said, that the Chiefs don't have to go, which is, you know, you can sign a big contract, have signed two big contracts and have Patrick Mahomes. You just can't do the other way. They've gone the way of, let's just sign everybody to mid-level deals and have a bunch of mid-level players and have him. But even if you go into 2020, that's where the difference is between there. The Patriots right now only have one player scheduled to make. The Chiefs have six players scheduled to make more than the third highest player for the Patriots. Frank Clark making 22, Watkins 21, Hill 17, Matthews 16, Fisher 14, Hitchens 12, Kelsey 11, Schwartz 10. Like they can't keep operating this way, but I think what happens is it's those mid-level deals that go away. It's the Hitchens deal. Maybe it gets harder to sign a guy like Schwartz, but I don't think the top end has to.
Congrats to Phil in Overland Park, the winner of a pair of tickets to see FAC Fight Night at Silverstein Ice Center's Arena. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. We'll have another pair of tickets tomorrow on the show to give away. So now I still want to just keep playing the Mitch Holt disc cut, even though we don't have
I told you,
today.
I'm just going to create a button.
We got to get this figured out. We definitely have to do that. We're going to keep talking Chiefs as the Chiefs Red Half Hour, but I have to admit the text line, and they're not letting you off the hook, and they're very smart about this over on the Smitty's Garage Burger Beer text line, 69306. Last segment, we were talking about what you would you go to jail to get rid of all your student debt? And you said, oh, you've been arrested before. And I said, what? And you said, just to get to that on the other side. There's a couple people that said, why were you arrested?
It's just one person.
There's a couple people.
Okay.
Why were you arrested? I didn't even follow up on that.
It was not Chiefs related, so is it appropriate for the Chiefs right half hour?
I need to hear it. Because people said there was a few people that said they were in jail during the Super Bowl, and they still got to watch.
Weird. I was arrested. I've been arrested twice.
Oh, now it's twice. It's gone up from one. How many?
I didn't say I had only been arrested once. We have honesty on this show. This is an honest show.
Multiple arrests.
The first time I was arrested, I was an accomplice in a mailbox hitting scandal.
A mailbox.
We were playing mailbox baseball.
Uh-huh.
I was 18. I just had knee surgery, but I used to go with some other friends, and they were like, hey, come out. It's like, I don't want to, I'm hurt. Like, nah, come out. I was like, okay. And I just sat in the back seat. I didn't actually hit a mailbox that night, although I was there. I was definitely, and I definitely hit a mailbox at some point in my life. So I was equally as guilty from previous incidents than I was that one evening. But we were arrested and then taken to a cell to then be bailed out to solve that problem. I had to do...
How much was bail for something
15,
like that?
I don't know, a couple $100. I had to do 15 hours. Eventually, my lawyer figured it out. I think my sentence was 15 hours community service, and then it was expunged after a certain amount of time of not being in trouble. So that was the first time. The second time, I had received a ticket I didn't realize I'd received.
All right.
And then they picked me up and took me in and then made me like take care of it. So that was not nearly as exciting.
No. Okay.
The first time was related to mailbox baseball. I was not guilty that evening. I was definitively guilty in my youth of that. So I know it's not as exciting as you think. I didn't like.
So that's where Cody bases his experience off of.
There's your answer. I have been in a jail. Well, I mean, look, man, at 18, that was not a fun conversation. When we called my dad, because that's who I had to call. I mean, you're 18. Who's bailing you out?
Yeah.
I didn't have buddies that just had hundreds of dollars lying around ready to bail me out. So, you know, you call your dad and you're like, look, not a great way to put it, admittedly now. But I'd had some siblings who had been in some trouble throughout. But like, you know, like I had a sister who had a kid at a very young age. And the whole preface of the conversation was like, remember all these bad things that happened? Well, mine's much, much less bad. But I'm in jail and I need you to bail me out. So I try to soften the blow with, look at all this worse stuff that has happened.
I'm sure that worked out.
But also,
I'm sure that worked out perfect for
still
you.
Still a quiet-ish car ride home.
Well, now we know. Now we know. This is very important. I'm glad I know this going forward.
We know.
Mailbox baseball, huh? Okay.
Well, you never got in any trouble in your youth?
I didn't get arrested, though. I didn't get arrested, though, no.
It's weird, because like I've never had detention in school or been suspended or anything like that. I didn't get in that kind of trouble. But I would get in this little kind of trouble, this kind of stuff. Teenage chicanery. Yeah, I'm guilty of that a few times over at that age.
Well, I was going to say, how do I transition from that? I just jump
you just
right,
move right just into
jump,
Chiefs. You
just, we
like,
just jump right
well,
back in the
it's still
Chiefs
the Chiefs
red
half hour.
Yeah, there's no need to transition and make any legal connection with anybody. We are talking Chiefs here. It's our Chiefs red half hour on Cody and Gold. Right around this time, each and every day, we try to bring you the latest with the Chiefs here. And we were talking about the plan going forward and the impact the Mahomes deal will have on the Chiefs roster over the next couple of seasons. Still, the running back position in 2020, I think there's a lot of people that look at that despite what Damian Williams was able to do and wondering if he should be the guy in 2020.
Sure.
I have said a little bit that I think I don't want them to, if they bring anybody else in, I don't want them going, like David Johnson, I'm way against that. Serta's brought David Johnson's name up. I've said I really don't like the idea of bringing in David Johnson.
I had the text line ask us multiple times about Devonta Freeman.
Yeah, from the Falcons. I don't think that is the smart route to go for Kansas City. Maybe if you don't believe in Damian Williams, that's a debate you can get into, certainly I'm willing to have. If you're going to draft somebody, or if you're going to adjust the running back spot, I think you do it in the draft. You do it late in the draft. We've seen them have success doing that in the past. I just think under Andy Reid, you don't need to spend a significant amount of money on the running back spot. I just don't think you need to do that. In free agency or high-level draft pick, you just don't need to spend that kind of money in this offense under Andy Reid on the running back spot. And so I'm willing to roll based on what we saw from Damian Williams when he was healthy, when he was in the postseason, that he should absolutely be the lead back. But I do want them to draft another running back. And then we'll see if Darwin Thompson, everybody's love of him coming out of camp last year, if there's actually some production and use that comes out of that.
Like for me, yeah, I just don't want veteran competition at that position because I don't see the need. They don't use the running game enough to justify the ends on that. They just don't. Like that's why I just simply don't see the need to do it other than like draft. Sure. I'm also not as high in Darwin Thompson as others. I do think he looks good at times, but anytime a team tries to replace somebody a certain number of times, I start believing that maybe they're not as high on them as we are. Like Darwin Thompson was around the entire year. Yes, he was a rookie. Yes, he was inexperienced, but they gave Kareem Hunt the full reins. Year one, zero question. Yes, he was a better blocking back, but they just gave him carte blanche.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you couldn't trust Darwin Thompson to do simple stuff, so you brought in Ware, or you brought in McCoy. You took time away. Darrell Williams had time over him. So this idea that it can just be Damien and Darrell's no good, I just think that I don't want veteran competition. I like Damien enough that, again, he's the kind of guy that if is healthy, is a plenty enough quality back, and I saw more than enough, obviously, in the postseason, to think that he can handle what they need him to handle if he's healthy. The reason why you draft someone is because you need a backup choice. You need another option other than Darwin Thompson. I just don't know that a vet guy, I don't want them trying to figure out a way to use both running backs in the early part of this and kind of ruining offensive flow. Because at any point this year when they were using running backs, they were never trying to figure out how to use both. They almost always had one primary running back. It just depended on what point of year who that was.
You definitely need options because you don't know. Can Damian Williams make it through a whole season? I mean, we did our thing most likely to be wrong about in 2020. And what did I say? Damian Williams over 800 yards rushing. So if I'm saying he better be the lead back, I said I'm most likely to be wrong about it. But if I'm saying he's going to have 800 yards rushing, he better be the lead back heading into 2020. Or that's definitely not going to happen.
Someone said I mentioned Kareem Hunt twice, and people are asking for him to come back. And I'm like, I don't know if that's the right fit.
the depth, to me, you do through the draft at the running back spot. You don't, unless
I
don't know what the financial impact would be on a David Johnson or a Devonta Freeman. I don't think either is a smart route to go for the organization. We were just talking about the money issues for the team. Now, I don't know what David Johnson's contract would be. He will have suitors other than Kansas City too, and unless you're promising him a number one job, how
attractive is
that?
I think he will have suitors, but also he has proven to have some very serious decision making issues.
Like 2016 was a long time ago.
And that's going to cost him money. I know.
That was a long time ago for him. Talking about a guy, you want to have another guy that can't stay healthy?
Health, you know, part of his thing has just been decision making, not so much the field stuff, which has been there a little bit, but I think I'd just be more inclined. Like, it's not saying I wouldn't listen to other conversations about veteran running backs, but I do think that I want later round, I want third or later, fourth or later draft box. So, you know, at least that. I would prefer that.
There was the mock draft we referenced late last week from CBS Sports, and who do they have the Chiefs taking at 32? They had a running back. I said I didn't like it. I'm not because I don't like the player. J.K. Dobbins is who they had. He's incredibly talented. However, I don't like the idea of spending a first-round pick on a running back, especially with what we just discussed about needs to use picks, maybe even stockpile them, but use picks on the linebacker spot, use them in the secondary, use it on the offensive line. I don't think you want to use a high-end pick on the running back spot. Plus, I do think they'll draft a wide receiver, but what's great about wide receivers this year is it's such a deep wide receiving class that you can get away with drafting and finding a very talented wide receiver in the third or fourth round this year. So running back, I think running back, third, fourth, fifth round, someone else to plug in, see what Andy Reid and company and Eric Bieniemy can get out of him the
most.
Also,
just plug in. People find starters at running back in the third round or later.
Well, look where Kareem Hunt was drafted.
David Johnson was drafted. You just mentioned multiple names across the league that were all taken later. Damien Williams might not even have been drafted.
He was undrafted.
So, I mean,
that's why you don't spend a significant pick or money on that.
Now we have Patrick Mahomes. He has an arm. Let's worry about wide receiver. I'd rather spend a first round pick on a wide receiver this year than I would a running back.
No question about that. Again, we are excited today. The first official day for us as Chiefs radio partners here on 610 Sports Radio. So going forward and obviously heading in to the 2020 season, we're fired up for this.
Before we take a break, by the way, and we'll do that here in just a couple of minutes, at least a couple of people reporting, including Adam Rittenberg of ESPN, that Brett Bielema is emerging as a candidate for the Colorado coaching job. Ian Rappaport had it as well, but apparently he's got a decent shot at it. We were just talking beforehand how weird it was, Gold, that we hadn't heard
Anything on Eric
Bielema.
And
just like we hadn't heard anything about the Colorado job or on Eric Bielema, so it was kind of curious to know who is really the front runner for that job. This still, to me, and I don't know. I mean, Bielema has been around football for a long time. He was a really successful head coach at Wisconsin for a bit. Arkansas didn't work out particularly well.
It's in the NFL,
that to me
though.
Doesn't, you know, like that's a coach that you would consider on par with Eric Bieniemy's current resume, wouldn't you? Other than the fact that Bielema has been a head coach, he's failed. That's the difference. That's always the difference when people point this stuff out. Bielema has failed somewhere.
Bieniemy
never has, so it's like his resume is still kind of clean.
Remember, he was brought in to be a consultant with the Patriots last year and then left.
He was a linebacker coach for the Giants, right?
Well, that's what's weird about this. So he was a consultant prior to the 2018 season with the Patriots and then left very early on. And then he was just hired as the outside linebackers coach for the new regime there with the Giants. So he's had two jobs in the NFL recently. He hasn't actually coached.
No,
he's been there like a combined 1 month and 6 weeks, something like that. It is time in the NFL. So it's kind of, you know, the NFL track record, I wouldn't say as much just because of that. But of course, we all know his time at Arkansas. That's what he was known for.
Yeah, it's an interesting hire. Just I hadn't heard any more about Bieniemy, so I wanted to mention that now while it was on the mind.
Coming up next on Cody and Gold, we'll get into the noon hour. What's trending more on the Astros? Cheating scandal, and are they the most hated team since? Who? We'll try to figure all that next.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.